Blog Talk Radio.
Hi guys, welcome to the Horror Hour on the VRO. We're having a little bit of technical difficulty right now, but we'll take care of that in just a minute. Jamie, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, awesome. Michael, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay, awesome. So we have our host, so I'm going to leave it to them, and yeah.
Hi guys, horror fans, I'm Michael.
I'm Jamie, and you are listening to the Horror Hour.
Thanks for being here, guys. We're going to do something a little different this episode. We are not going to be taking phone calls due to the fact that we're going to be short on time. So any questions that would like to be submitted through the chat room, we'll do our best to get those answered for you. You guys may or may not know our guest today will be Ben Hansen. Ben Hansen is a former FBI agent who turned paranormal investigator and currently hosts Fact or Faked Paranormal Files on the Sci-Fi Channel. It's a great show if you haven't seen it yet. It's got a lot of cool videos and stuff that they pull off the internet and basically try to debunk. We are waiting for Ben to give us a call. So in the meantime, I do want to let you guys know that you can go to the link for the show and you can sign in with your Facebook and you will be able to communicate in the chat room. So yeah, if you've got a little bit of time to do that now, before we get Ben on, but we would definitely, like to have some participation. So, guys, I think we have Ben Hansen on the line and, we're going to go ahead and introduce, Ben is, like I said, has been an FBI agent, turned paranormal investigator, and current host of the hit sci-fi show Fact or Faked Paranormal Files. Guys, I give you Ben Hansen. Ben, how are you?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Wonderful. Thank you so much for taking some time to join us. You know, we're closing out Paranormal Month, and I couldn't think of a better person to do that for us.
Thank you for helping me.
We definitely appreciate your time. Okay, so I guess we'll go into questions. Jamie, you had a question?
Yeah. Hey, Ben, how's it going?
Good. How are you, Jamie?
I'm good, man. I'm good. So what can you tell us, without kidding us, of course, about the work that you did for the FBI?
You're right. I can't talk a whole lot about specifics.
I didn't think so.
Before I went into it, kind of give you an idea, I worked for several years at the state level investigating child sex crimes. Mm-hmm. So that was my prime kind of focus while I was with them. But, you know, when you start out, they also run you through a lot of different of the departments.
Yeah.
So you get a feel for everything. So I did some national security cases. I assisted on an international kidnapping. And then you get over into the, that's the criminal side. The national security side is the stuff that you really don't talk about too much. But you've got a little bit of experience in a bunch of different fields. You know, and as I always tell people, the next question usually is, well, you know, do you miss it or think about going back? And I actually did leave the door open to go back. So that's why I'm very careful. The oaths, because I would like to eventually maybe go back to them or another agency.
Okay.
Wow. Okay. Now, let me ask you this, Ben. What made you decide to make the change from FBI agent to paranormal investigator? Was there something you saw in the FBI that maybe kind of led you to it? What do you enjoy most about investigating?
Well, I can say this much. It's not everything or most of even what, you know, you see on TV. I think I had a reasonable expectation of it, but, you know, what's portrayed in movies is really a lot of it depends on what kind of cases you're working, but you do a lot of sitting at desks and report writing. And, you know, so it's that and, you know, some other things which, you know, I feel as if, you know, serving the public was kind of my calling in life. And I really enjoy using that same set of investigative skills that I think crosses over, you know, in some degree to paranormal investigation. And the opportunity came up for me to get in on the ground level of a show that was looking to develop. And, you know, I'd always wanted to work in law enforcement, as I have been doing for several years, but at the same time I thought, well, you know what, I'm young enough, why can't I do both? You know, I kind of, I joke about it, but you know, X-Files was kind of one of the, my big, I guess, inspirations, you know, growing up like high school and stuff. And I love both worlds. And, you know, I didn't actually make a transition into paranormal investigating. I did make the transition to doing it to get paid to do it, but I've been, you know, interested in it ever since I was, I don't know, 5, 8 years old. I started, you know, reading UFO books as soon as I could read, and then I got into the ghost hunting aspect when I was in college.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, yeah, very interesting transition.
So is there a particular topic within the paranormal umbrella that interests you more than others? Ghosts, UFOs, cryptozoology?
Well, I would say that I know the most about ufology. You know, I've spoken at a lot of different ghost hunting events, conferences that we hold, but those aren't, I mean, it's kind of hard to find a, I would say maybe an academic, you know, ghost hunting event where you're speaking to scientists, researchers, as opposed to ufology. And I've spoken a number of those, and these are the people that I read about, you know, when I was a kid. So it was really strange for me to be alongside of them and you know, add somewhat to the body of knowledge. So that is kind of my main interest. But when we started the show, it wasn't just ghosts and UFOs. I knew a little bit about cryptozoology, but I had to get up to speed, you know, really quick and start reading and attending these events because it's, you know, something that we also cover on the show.
Okay. All right. Well, speaking of the show, for our listeners who've never seen the show, Fact or Faked, shame on you. Can you give us a short synopsis for our listeners?
Sure. We've been described as kind of a mix between Mythbusters and Ghost Hunters. So when the show was first conceived, I had been, you know, watching casually. I don't watch a lot of TV. But I was watching what was on, and most of these shows were kind of observation-based, you know, which is fine, but it means that the team goes out to a reported haunted location. They just kind of wait for things to happen or they try to stir it up. And I kind of felt like the whole genre in TV was saturated with that, and people going out and doing it, they're still tuning in, but I thought, you know, why don't we take something from the ground level of you know, what we already know or what we have as evidence in hand that's alleged and work that way. So we started getting into looking at videos and photos that people presented to us. So the concept is we get these submitted or we find them online. Some of them are viral videos and some of them are the ones that people don't want or didn't want out into the public, they're holding on to them. And we try to determine through experimenting whether we can replicate the video, if it's a natural explanation, if it's hoaxed. And even if we're able to do that, it doesn't always mean that that's what happened. So on some cases, we'll actually stay and look into the paranormal aspect of it and see if we can find any evidence in favor of that theory.
Okay.
So, going into the question that So what's the weirdest thing you've seen while investigating?
Well, I mean, we've had some weird videos that I wasn't there for when they were filmed. Probably, I keep coming back to the sort of recent case of last year when I had a lady come to me through a mutual friend that I met at a UFO conference, and she was experiencing classic abduction scenario, sort of surreal dreams. And so they set up a video camera in her bedroom to try and comfort her that she wasn't being taken. But this was in the UK, and this video shows a figure, it would seem, in the bed, and the sheets dissolve, you know, on camera, and kind of sink into the mattress. And it looks like she's disappeared for 13 minutes and then reappears. In that case...
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I thought, well, this is great, you know, but I was crossing my fingers, and I, please, when I call her, don't let her be some loony, you know, or don't let her have, like, you know, degrees and experience in CG, you know, because it's going to ruin it.
Yeah.
So I was pleasantly surprised, because when we went out there, she and her husband, very, very believable, incredible emotional interviews. Very difficult, I believe, in my experience in, you know, interviewing witnesses and victims. I felt like she was retelling an account that really happened, or at least that was her experience, her reality of it happening to her. And that alone, for me, pretty much ruled out, you know, a very elaborate hoax, which we showed could have happened. But I think her testimony really rules that out for me. So in the end, we don't know. We honestly don't know if it was an illusion and she appears to have, you know, kind of disappeared from her bed, or if something else is really at play. So it's cases like that. It's cases like, you know, for me, not having seen object manipulation in person and seeing that happen for the first time, and, you know, a few times after that. Those are kind of, you know, some of the weird ones that stay with me.
Did you get any more information after investigating the video with the thing with the three legs? You know what I'm talking about?
The walking pants, the night crawlers?
Yes. That was one of the most bizarre videos I've ever seen in my life.
You know, we did. There was a video that surfaced not too long after. You can look it up on YouTube. Jaime Masson, who was kind of like the George Norrie of Mexico. But he, I don't think he really has a filter. That's my only critique of him, is that he doesn't really question. He kind of is so open-minded and believing, he believes everything. But anyways, he did a summary of kind of our videos, and includes that video. And it's my feeling that the second video probably was a copycat.
Really?
It looked very much like it could have been CGI. However, there is an interesting art piece. It's like a statue that's in that same area, and it looks very much like these entities.
Really?
And it puzzles me, because I don't know, you know, how long ago that was constructed, who the artist was, what his inspiration was, if it's just a coincidence, or if it has something to do with maybe legend for a long time there. That's something I would like to know more about. We haven't had that kind of piece of gold, you know, that gets us back there, though, to do a whole new episode on it.
Mm-hmm.
Just out of curiosity, what was the whereabouts in the UK was the video of the lady disappearing into the bed?
You know, I'm trying to remember where we were. I want to say it was pretty close to Stratford-upon-Avon, because I went to a Shakespeare play that was only like 20 minutes away.
Okay.
So it was out in that area. It's in the countryside, and she was right near the train track. You know, the train station had the house itself possibly had some weird energies going on, because it dated back to, you know, the early 1900s.
Yeah. All right. Just curious, as I live in the UK, so I was curious to wonder if it was anywhere near where I was. So how many videos do you guys review, and how does the selection process go as far as what's reviewed on the actual show itself?
Well, when we're filming, we bring back the whole production staff, which is kind of like a bullpen. So if you go to the production studio, they have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, probably about 4 or 5 full-time video clip researchers, in addition to my team, which is constantly searching for things throughout the week. So it's kind of when we're out filming, you know, there's really no time to line up the next 2 or 3, you know, situation room scenes down the road. And so they kind of do the pre-screening, but we're constantly getting our own videos and sending them back and forth throughout the week. So sometimes we know a little bit about it. Sometimes, you know, I may have seen, you know, a video that Bill sent me, and I researched it and found out something he didn't know. You know, and so when we get to the situation room, there's also logistics that have to be done. So all those videos have to be cleared. If we're going to show them on the show, for example, you've got to get releases. Usually there's a small, you know, use fee that they pay the videographer. And then we have to decide if we can actually logistically get to that location. Are they willing to cooperate? You know, are the witnesses, you know, credible? And is there something that we can do, you know, as a TV show as well? If we've done, you know, a lot of cases with just, you know, a light in the sky, you know, the TV show, and you have to remember, it's show business, is a business. So
yeah.
You have to bring out, you can't just keep, you know, doing laser reflections on a piece of glass. So we're always looking for things that allow us to do new experiments and new things we haven't considered before. So once we get a good collection of those and they've gone through the first couple of stages, then we bring them to the situation room. And for those who have seen the show, there are times when we're pretty close to choosing one, but we shelf it so that we can maybe get a little bit more info and come back to it. And in one case, we did that. There are a couple others out there that we're still looking at coming back to, but just because, you know, we pass on it the first time doesn't mean that we won't do it later.
Okay.
Gotcha.
Just another quick question. Has there ever been, have you ever been in the investigation room and you've all put your videos forward and you really wanted to do one, but you've never had the chance to do it?
Yeah, that's a good question. I've been shot down a few times. I'm trying to think of a specific instance, but we've had a couple of times where some really good videos have come up, you know, at the same time. And because we passed on the one that we didn't get to, I'm trying to think. There are some that just don't fit into the format of the show, you know, that I would really like to go out to, but there isn't that video or photo evidence, you know, that we need. It's kind of a rigid format on the show, and that could evolve. But I mean, I'm just trying to think of a specific one. There's a lot of hot spots, you know, in the U.S. of places that I would like to go. I'd always been pushing for a case out at a place in Utah known as Skinwalker Ranch. And there, you know, the sci-fi did do a show that went out nearby there and everything, but it was kind of because of my instigation, and we've never really seen a good show actually out there on the property where it's kind of a parapalooza, you know, a paranormal you know, circus going on. Everything is happening there, or at least it was in the 90s. And I've always wanted to go visit that place, so that was up on the top of my list.
Okay. Well, I know, Ben, I know you guys, season one, episode one, your first video was actually in Savannah, which I'm in Georgia. So, and I know that the haunted history in Savannah, as well as I'm sure you do. Any plans to go back to Savannah? Not necessarily for the show, but for your own paranormal investigations?
I was down in Atlanta, not too long ago, and sometimes when I get, you know, within the state, if time allows, I would love to go and check some of those places out. One thing that did not make the show, and I believe they had part of it for a while up on the website, was when that car, you know, we discovered had gone underneath the fence, we actually did still film a night investigation just to check out the area and see if, you know, if there was any paranormal activity there. And then something very strange happened. There's a little swamp area, a very small grove of trees not far from that fence. And we went, we set up our cameras, and this was our first episode, and I really wanted to, you know, get down in the dirt and, you know, make this fun. And I took my shoes and socks off, and I waded through the swamp. And I saw a shadow. I heard a noise, kind of a rustling, and I saw a kind of a vague outline of a shadow almost fly sort of over my head and down towards the back end of the bushes and of the swamp. And, you know, I was like, okay, what are we doing? Is this a bird I scared? What's going on? And I continued to hear a little bit of that, but I set down the recorders. Nothing terribly significant happened after that, but when I got back and I started reviewing the tapes, we had sounds of what I can only describe as musket fire, you know, rifle.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and a snare drum that was beating every so often.
Oh, no way.
So, I don't know. I mean, it was very interesting because I researched as close as I could that location, and it seems as if the train, the railroad, went through, I forget top of my head the name of that little town near Savannah, but the train, the railroad went down when Sherman came through, and you know, kind of the commandeering of the train and pushing his way all the way to Atlanta. And then, again, in the, you know, Revolutionary War and the Civil War both, there were major battles fought there. And that's the first time I picked up what I thought was gunfire, you know, on an EVP. But it was very loud and really distinct. You know, and I feel that I can detect, you know, or tell what is a gunshot as opposed to something else.
Wow. Well, we've got quite a few questions in the chat room, and one of them actually is another question that I had. And I'm sure you get asked this a lot, but what are some of the most haunted places that you guys have actually investigated? I mean, really like goosebumps, chills, kind of like, you know, God, I really don't want to go back there again.
I had heard that Waverly was that way for many people.
Well, it's funny you mention Waverly because Glenn Hetrick, he is a I don't know if you're familiar with him, but he is a makeup artist. He does effects makeup, and I had the chance to speak with him in Louisville, Kentucky, and he went there and said that he couldn't even talk about it. It just gave him goosebumps.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Waverly is apparently a pretty cool place to check out. So you haven't been to Waverly yet?
No, we did an episode there. But I said I heard that it was because when I got there, to be honest, like the whole night was, you know, for lack of a better word, it was dead. There wasn't anything going on except for about 15 minutes where everything started happening.
Really?
So I expected, you know, to be having experiences everywhere, but it was only within that 15 minutes that I was down in the body chute, and EMF was going completely crazy, as well as hearing sounded like someone was walking down that tunnel and kicking the sides of the walls.
Wow.
You know, as they
came
down towards us. Another place that was not, we didn't do on the show, but I'm trying to remember here. We did an event out at the Pioneer Saloon just outside of Vegas. It's kind of a ghost town. And I've never seen EVPs, or I'm sorry, EMF meters responding so on cue to where everywhere along this, inside this bar, they were going off. And there's been a couple times like that where you almost feel like you could reach out, you know, and touch whatever's there. You know, it's mostly these events that I've been on. It's kind of as if whatever it is seems to know they're being filmed at times.
Uh-huh.
And they do it, things right behind you or right when you're not filming. The North Carolina battleship, North Carolina, incredibly active. While we were filming there, you know, you see on the episode only a couple of the things that happened because we had our digital SLR camera picked up out of the Pelican case, equipment case that we had. And I have no idea how it got there, but it was about 30 feet away from the case. We heard a crash, and we went over there, and it had been smashed. As if someone had just tossed it out of the case or lifted it, you know, and carried it over and dropped it. And, you know,
wow.
I knew where all the crew was. We could see everyone. It was only, like, 10 feet behind me, you know, where the case was, and there's no one who took the camera out or anything, but we found it on the ground, and it is inoperable. I mean, it smashed the lens. We had another thing happen right there where one of those big serving trays where they in the lunchroom, in the kitchen, the stainless steel things with the lids. I was kind of joking. I wasn't being disrespectful, but I was talking about the soldier there who had, you know, fallen down this well, and I said his name, and that lid behind me picked up and slammed back down onto the thing. So that's a great place as well.
Wow. God. Okay, so, all right, so since season one, how has the advancement of technology helped you guys in regards to paranormal investigating? And on the flip side of that, with CG now and everything, how has it kind of hurt the credibility of a lot of these videos that get posted on YouTube and circulated and gone viral and everything?
Well, I love this topic. In fact, that's the main subject I speak about in my lectures is that I believe technology can be our best friend and our worst enemy. We made it a goal, and we didn't always achieve it, but Bill and I especially wanted to bring something new. If it wasn't new technology, at least technology that we call crossover technology that's being used somewhere else and no one's thought about using it for, you know, paranormal investigation. And we wanted to bring at least one thing new, you know, each episode. So we've had developers, we've had people come to us with new concepts. And, you know, one of my favorite things was, I got into these drones, you know, multi-rotor helicopters, and I put a FLIR camera on the bottom of that. And, you know, we'd like to use that more. But in general, there's over 1 billion cell phone cameras in the world, you know, and many, many more video cameras.
Mm-hmm.
And I think people start to have this expectation that if, you know, we're seeing all these videos on YouTube and people sharing things, and people kind of say now, well, okay, let's suppose you saw a UFO and you witnessed it for 10, 15 minutes. If you go and tell someone about that, usually the next thing they're going to say is, well, why didn't you film it? Did you get it on camera? Which is a logical explanation, but there's many things that, you know, we don't have time to go into as to why people either forget or they're too stunned or the fact that it takes really a lot of really good night vision technology to capture a decent image. But the idea, that capturing things on film is the only way to provide evidence now is really interesting.
Yeah.
You know, we used to rely on eyewitness testimony and people's, you know, oaths and promises that, you know, this is the way it happened. And now it's kind of like, well, you didn't capture it on camera. So now everyone can sit at home and take After Effects or something else, and they can make images, and some of them are really good. And then there's an excuse as to why they don't have the raw file, like I lost it, or this is the only copy. And so you can't go back and actually analyze the tape itself. So, you know, it does kind of leave you in this, it's kind of like a mirage. I think technology is helping us get closer, but at the same time, I don't think it's going to help people who have already made their minds up or are close to it, because there's always going to be another explanation, and technology is infallible, or not,
yeah,
you know, infallible. You know what I mean?
And it almost seems like the easier it is to create these videos, the easier it is to be skeptical about the validity of them.
Yeah, you know, I would say that's true. It's coming to the point where I use an example that I believe you could land a UFO on the White House lawn tomorrow and interview the occupants inside out all day long, put it on the 10 o'clock news, and many people, if not maybe the majority, still aren't going to believe it.
Oh, you absolutely.
Know, there's, you know, a lot of factors, and one of them is that we don't really trust our politicians anymore, and there's agendas and things, but also that we're so used to seeing images of special effects that we've become desensitized to the images, and they don't have an impact on us anymore like they used to. So you capture you're ghost hunting, and you capture this great video of an object flying across the room, and you show it to somebody, and they might say, wow, that's cool, but unless they were actually there, it really can't compare to the, you know, that simulation can't compare to being there and having that same emotional impact.
Okay. All right.
So is there an investigation that you've really wanted to do but haven't yet?
Well, you know, kind of like I was saying, that mostly these paranormal hotspots.
Yeah, okay.
Some of them are quite secretive, and the people who know might take you there, but they don't want it on TV. Whenever I go places, if I can, I try to build in some time that I can, you know, go see some of these areas. You know, one of my big time dreams was, I'd planned a trip, you know, when I was about 14 years old, to go to see Area 51 with my dad. And that didn't happen. So when we did the episode with our show, it was really kind of cool, you know, just to be there where you can legally go to a location and see, oh yeah, there's an airbase there, and this is what all the hype is about.
Nice. All right. Well, Ben, we're wrapping it up now, but I do have a question that I ask all of my guests. What scares Ben Hansen?
I have a list. I
have a list.
My list of fears. And among other things, having somebody, you know, not tell me that I've got food on my face in public. having my girlfriend cut my hair, you know, that could lead to problems. I also fear showing up in the same, you know, public space and someone's wearing the exact same clothes as you. I don't know why. It's kind of a self-centered thing, but it's kind of just awkward. I don't know. And I also fear marriage. I'm still single, and you know, that's one thing that I want to get right. The physical, the paranormal, I've been in situations where you just know you shouldn't be there, and I leave. I don't get involved with that, because I've had some extremely terrifying things, but when I was growing up, not since I've been doing ghost hunting. Mm-hmm. And the physical, you know, I don't know. I'm sure there's situations the same thing. The back of your hairs of your neck stand up, and I like those situations when you have some control. So that's the long answer. You know, I'm actually going great white shark cage diving this November because I fear it, and I don't like that I fear things.
Well, we've had this debate before, and I think fear is healthy. I think it's okay to be afraid. That's why, you know, we're all such big horror fans. You know, it sparks life in us. But I can understand, you know, real life situations where you're kind of in an environment where it's like, wow, wait a minute, is this real? You know?
Yeah.
So yeah, I can see where you're coming from. I can definitely see where you're coming from.
It's true, you know. Like at least I tell people when you encounter, you know, maybe in law enforcement or everyday situations, there's some amount of preparation you can do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm a firearms instructor on the side, and I believe, you know, in preparation for all emergencies. But when you get into a place that, you know, is allegedly haunted, and fortunately I've never had, like I said, these really negative experiences, but it's not tangible. You can't really fight it. There's nothing you can. I almost fear those situations even more than I do like a physical threat. You know,
yeah.
They can be truly terrifying if you're in the wrong place.
Wow.
Okay. All right. So what's coming up next, Ben? What have you got coming up in the future, and when can we expect to see season 3?
Well, we like to gently remind the network that we're ready to go. So,
do we need to start a petition?
Well, I don't know if it's time for a petition yet, but we have been told that the decision is coming soon, and we've been waiting and waiting. We're hopefully going to hear back probably in September because they've got some new shows on, and they're trying to see what ratings of the new shows are, where we would fit in. So, you know, if and when that happens, filming will probably be delayed another couple of months, and then the airing of it could happen, I imagine, as soon as January of next year.
Oh,
they like to spring that on us, and we have to go to work really fast. So we're waiting on that, and in the meantime, I started kind of a production company of my own, so I've got a couple shows in development, and I'm doing events, you know, around the country, and instead of, I guess, listing all of them, my next one is in Vegas this weekend, and then I have one in Utah the weekend after,
That's all on your website, benhanson.com?
Yep. Yep, BenHanson.com has all of that. It's kind of a one-stop, so you don't have to keep searching everyone on that.
Well, I my fingers are crossed, and I do have to tell you that me and my 6-year-old son love nothing more than to sit down and watch Factor Fake. He's like so into the paranormal, and we love the show, and I thank you. And my fingers are crossed, and if there's anything we can do, we definitely got the numbers, so if we need to strong arm and bully sci-fi into a season 3, you just let us know and we will make that happen, brother.
Well, thank you so much. It's really, you know, that's what makes the show worth it, honestly, is I love when people tell me that they have a time set aside for their sons or daughters or a teacher who shows it to their class, you know, in science or something. That's what makes it worth it to me, because we don't really, unless we're in an event, connect with people face to face and hear those stories of, you know, families and family time. So I appreciate that.
Oh, bye. It's my pleasure. And again, thank you for coming on. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, Michael got me hooked on the show, so if season 3 doesn't happen, I'm going to go Jericho.
I was
part of the Jericho campaign, and I will be part of this campaign.
I've got a story. I I was home yesterday, and I walked into my brother's room, and he was watching a TV program. I was like, "Oh, what are you watching?" He's like, "Oh, I'm watching this. They're doing this. They're trying to prove this if this video is real or fake." And I was like, "It's not called fact or fake." He's like, "Yeah, yeah, yeah." I'm like, "Oh yeah, I'm interviewing Ben tomorrow." And he's like, "Oh really? Oh wow, that's really cool." So it airs in the UK, so we watch you over here as well, man. So it's good. It's cool. So all the best for season
awesome.
3.
Yeah, I think season 2 just started there, so. They're a little bit behind.
we've done season 1, and I think season 2 airs tomorrow night. Well, season 2 airs on Sci-Fi tomorrow night, so at 9 p.m.
Great.
Awesome. Well, Ben, before we let you go, we ask all of our guests to give us a little sound clip. Just say your name, and you're listening to the Horror Hour on the VRO, and you can add anything you want to add to it. So if you could do that for us, we'll be quiet and let you do it.
Hate to put you on the spot.
No worries. Let's see if I think of anything clever to add to the end. I think my creative juices are done with.
It could be short.
Then you
can
just say your name and you're listening to the Horror Hour on the VRO.
Okay. This is Ben Hansen from... Oh, should I start over?
Yes, please.
Okay. This is Ben Hansen from Sci-Fi's Fact or Fake Paranormal Files, and you're listening to the Horror Hour on VRO.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Thanks, man.
Thank
That's
you so
brilliant.
Much. Ben, I'd love to have you back when season 3 starts up, or if you've got any projects that you're looking to promote, I would love to have you back on the show. You're awesome, man. We love you.
Awesome. Well, thank you. Yeah, reach out to me in a couple months, and we'll schedule it.
Awesome. Guys, ladies and gentlemen, Ben Hansen, thank you so much.
Thank you, Ben. Appreciate it.
Hi. Okay, he is awesome.
What a nice guy.
Great. He's an awesome guy, and you know, he's right now he's doing and if you go to his website, benhansen.com, you can find out where he's going to be. He's doing a lot of paranormal conventions right now during the off season for Fact or Faked. You can also follow him on Twitter at Ben, BenHansen 00, and he is also on Facebook as Ben Hansen. So definitely, if you have not seen the show, Fact or Faked Paranormal Files, it is on Netflix. He's definitely a good guest. I really enjoyed that. That was a good interview.
Nice guy. Kind of guy you want to sit down with over a coffee and discuss stuff in more detail.
Exactly, and I'm sure he's got some great, great stories.
Oh, yeah,
he's literally been compared to a real life Fox Mulder.
Oh yeah, I got the FBI.
I have a photo that I want to post in the chat room. And seeing that we're still in our paranormal month, this photo was taken in Vancouver at the Riverside Hospital. It's where they do a lot of filming for Supernatural and Smallville, and you know, there's a lot of filming going on there. But I was on. It was a rainy day. It was a rainy day, and I was taking a picture of the door. And then when
Just
Jamie. I'll show you later. And when I put the picture online, there was like this smoky film shadow mist type stuff.
Oh, I see
and
that.
It was not there. I swear it was not there when I took the photo. There was nothing there.
Well, I told you to lay off the crack. But, you know.
So, if anybody could tell me what that is, I'd be happy to know. It was taken back in 2007 when I was working on the set of Supernatural.
Sure, it wasn't the steam of Jensen Ackles.
Well, you know, it could have been, but he wasn't on set yet.
Okay.
I mean, it could have been.
Okay. Here's something really cool to talk about. We are currently at 616 followers on Twitter right now for the Horror Hour. So I got to give a monster shout out to Heather Pipkins, who's been just promoting the holy hell out of us. I really can't thank her enough, but you know, we are we are 50 away from a giveaway. So if we can get the 666 followers, we've got some pretty cool stuff to give away. I've been accumulating some things from conventions. I'm sure if we ask Jamie really nice, he might throw in a headshot.
Yeah.
Signed, right?
I've got an old t-shirt I can check in.
There you go. So yeah, guys, keep up the good work. We're doing a great job. We're getting it out there, and you know, guys, just for the record, and I you know, the last thing I hate to I want to do is bombard and spam, you know, social networking. But
yeah.
Really, guys, if you could, you know, if you have friends that are interested in horror films or paranormal or anything like that, you know, by all means, you know, throw them our website. The more followers and the more likes we have on our Facebook page, the more competent we look as a show, and the bigger guests we can actually get on the show. It's one thing to tell someone in public relations or a PR person for a celeb that, you know, we get 12,000. You know, live listeners a week, or we get an average of 100,000 downloads of our episode a week. But really, when they go to our Twitter page and see, you know, only 600 followers, or they go to our Facebook page and they only see like 150 likes, you know, it makes it more difficult for us to really prove ourselves as a legitimate business. So, by all means, guys, you are our street team. So anything
yeah.
you guys can do.
You know how
help,
badass we are. So tell everyone else.
Exactly. You know, get friends involved. Get other listeners involved. Spread the word, guys, because we really want this to be something big, and we really want this to go on for a while. And
we
while
spread like a biological plague.
Exactly, like a zombie virus. While we're on that topic, guys, and I hate to do this, and I'm not one to ask or beg for money or donations, but guys, the VRO is in a pretty rough spot right now. So us being under the branch of the VRO, that also puts us in danger. So anything and everything that you guys could possibly donate to the VRO keeps us up and going. You know, we've got, you know, monthly fees, you know, Blog Talk Radio, you know, the internet fees, all of this stuff costs money. And a lot of it comes out of our pockets, which is fine, you know, but right now, as some of you may or may not know, money is not very plentiful in my pocket at the moment, but we would love to continue covering conventions and stuff like that. And while we do get press for a lot of these cons, we pay for lodging, we pay for food, we pay for gas to get there. So a lot of it comes out of our pocket, and we love doing this for you guys. This is one of my favorite things in the world to do. It's been a dream of mine to host a show, to co-host a show, talking about things that really interest me. And horror is my thing, and horror is Jamie's thing, and we love you guys. So you know, we definitely
do.
To stay on the air. We definitely would love to continue to bring you guys the Horror Hour. We do have some big plans and big thoughts in our heads, and we really want to take this as far as we possibly can. So we are actually looking at sponsors. If anybody knows of anybody that is looking to sponsor somebody, let us know. We can definitely get in touch, or you can get us in touch with those people, and we can kind of go from there. But, you know, I would love Netflix, honestly. Netflix should sponsor the hell out of us.
It's Netflix, though.
God, many times as I'm on Netflix and I'm telling people to watch this, that, or the other on Netflix, it's like, you know, they should be sponsoring us. But
how many times have you told people to go and watch Grave Encounters on Netflix, Mike?
Oh, my gosh. The Vicious Brothers. Jesus Christ. They ought to cut me a check tomorrow.
Or just come on our show. Or just come on our show. How about that?
Exactly. And, you know, again, you know, the same thing with sponsors. You know, sponsors are going to look at how many followers we have, how many likes we have on Facebook. You know, numbers are not anything that we can really show them. You know, we are available on iTunes. However, we don't get any of that download information. So we never know exactly how many folks download from iTunes, which is why we usually direct you guys through Blog Talk Radio to download episodes, because we can kind of get a running idea of how many listeners and how many downloads of each episode. And guys, feedback. We would love feedback. This is not just our show. This show is for you guys. So if there's something you'd like to talk about, or if there's a topic that you guys would like to have on a show,
let us know.
Please do. I mean, we're definitely open. If there's a guest in particular, I mean, obviously, realistically, let us know. I mean, we definitely want to make this a show that everybody can enjoy and that everybody can be involved with, which, again, is why we chose to do this live rather than pre-recorded. We want to be able to interact with you guys as much as possible.
Yeah, totally.
So, okay, yeah, I need to apparently, Jamie, I need to work on an accent.
Okay, wait a minute. I got to jump in here.
Who said that?
Michael has an accent. Michael has that southern countryman accent that...
But I don't really, because I'm from Chicago.
It's funny, right? Because I've got friends over here that listen to the show that were like, who the holy hell is your co-host? He has one dreamy voice. And I was like...
Oh, I thought he was going to say me.
I was like, yeah, he's pretty badass. He's big time. And they're like, oh, right, he's got such a great voice. So don't change your accent. I like your accent.
Send them to me because all I hear are the, oh, Jamie, you're so dreamy and I want to hear your accent. That's what I hear.
The funny thing is that, as much as I love being told I have a lovely accent, over there, over in the States, it's great. Over here, I just sound like everyone else.
Well, you guys got it easy. You hear, oh, you have a lovely accent. I hear, you should start a 900 number.
Nice. Well, hey, that's still a compliment, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess. Maybe I should.
I told somebody earlier today that if I even attempted an accent, it would probably come out like a cross between Crocodile Dundee and Russell Brand or something. It would just be horrendous.
Russell's very English. He's very politely pronunciates things very correct. He's very well spoken, Russell. So
it would be very like Australian mixed in with UK, and it would just be bad and embarrassing. So I'm just gonna
Good night, mate.
continue to talk like I do, and you love
I
me,
like
you love
it.
Me,
I like
me,
it.
You hate me. It's all good, but
I like it, and you should keep it. We're putting a poll out there, and only Jamie and I are voting. So keep your accent.
I like your accent, man. If I could talk like if I could smack American accent, I would totally use it.
Jamie, no, honey, you do not need to try the American accent, because you do that now and then on Skype when we're in meetings, and it just comes out really bad.
Yeah.
Like really, really bad. It scares me.
I told that to 90,000 people, however many people follow us.
So Amy, how many live listeners did we have last week? You want to let them know?
Yeah, you go ahead. Let them know.
Guys, last night we had 12,000 live listeners.
Well, for the Jim O'Rear?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Thank you. How many of you
popped into the chat room? Now, if you would have stayed in the chat room, you would have had fun more fun with us.
Exactly. Yeah. That's where it's all at, is in the chat room.
And next week, I am going to log into the chat room and be taking people's questions. So I'm going to put that out there.
So there you have it. So, we will. There have been some questions as to whether or not we will have a show next week. We will. Don't have a guest. It's probably just going to be another kind of free-form show, open discussion. This is where your guys' input and your guys', you know, opinions come into play, your thoughts. So if you have something you'd like to talk about next week, or if there's a show topic that we haven't discussed that you would love to discuss, let us know. You can follow us
on
Twitter.
Keeping on the topic of horror.
Yes. Obviously, let's keep it on horror topic. But, you know, you can follow us on Twitter @the_horror_hour. You can also follow or like us on Facebook facebook.com/thehorrorhour. And, of course, we all have our personal email or our personal Twitters. Amy.
At Amy VRO.
Mine is @TheMcJagger, TheMcJagger. And Jamie?
Is my name, Jamie Chrystler, JamieChristlow. And I also have my Facebook page, which you can find on my Twitter bio, as there's a few out there. So go onto my Twitter bio, log on, check it out, and like my Facebook page as well. As you're there, while you're there, do the horror hour as well. If you're doing the horror hour, do mine. Just do them both at the same time. Do it.
And also, for any of you guys who are looking for previous episodes of the horror hour, if you go to Blog Talk Radio, and if you search the horror hour, and then you click on most recent, you can go back about 4 or 5 pages and catch all of our episodes. I don't even know how many we've done now. Does anybody?
I think we're going, we got about 2 months full. I think we missed maybe.
Yeah, but we didn't do a show every week.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll have to go back and look. I know we got a couple under the belt. But also, guys, if you want to listen to any of the other shows here on the VRO, you can follow @TheVRO. We actually have you guys opened up for an amazing director tonight. He'll be on at 8:00.
There are other shows on the VRO?
Yes.
What?
I didn't know that.
And Michael, you actually host one of them.
Oh, I do.
Yeah, you're at the round table for The Walking Dead.
Oh yeah. When is that?
That will start back up.
Shows?
Yeah, Michael.
Two shows?
Yeah.
You're cheating on me with another show?
But actually, Jamie, you could log in too and do it.
Motherfucking shit.
Man, you know how many Vampire Diaries show they do on this damn VRO?
Do I do them with them?
You can pick and choose, my friend. All you got to do is say the word.
I don't want to do any others because I do the best show.
I don't know. Come October, our roundtable, it gets interesting. It's a whole group of us, and I'm sitting at my kitchen table with my father, and Michael's on the phone. We have Sandra from Canada. We've got Amanda. Carl from the UK calls in. We've got tons of people that just call in, and it's one big roundtable discussion, and I cannot wait until that starts back up in October.
Kristen seems to think there have been 7 shows. Now, I'm wondering if that includes the preview show we did prior to the Sid Haig. Sid Haig interview is our official debut show, but we did do a kind of a, I don't know, like a test run the week prior.
7 or 8.
That's 7 or 8 is about right. So
9.
Check out our old episodes, and don't miss the one where I overslept and missed the first 15
minutes.
We've
done about 10, guys. No, hang on. 11.
Jamie's counting.
We've done 11 shows.
Okay, so we've got 1, 2, 3,
I'm telling
4.
You, 29 for May.
Right, we got 1 minute left.
5.
So we're not wasted counting shows. But yeah, guys, check out our old shows, our archives. Don't miss the show where I overslept and missed the first 10 minutes. That's
the best one.
The best 10 minutes of the world.
That will go down in the blooper reel at the end of the year. God, that was awful.
What?
But yeah, if
he
you haven't
good.
Seen, If you have no, it was awful of me.
Okay.
No, you guys did great. It's like God. I was like, I felt like a piece of shit afterwards. But the Sid Haig interview is epic. If you guys are Sid Haig fans, so we've got our past episodes. So check those out if you can. And please comment, guys. Give us comments. Leave us thoughts, ideas, what was good about a show, what was bad about a show. Because if not, we're just going to fly blind and do it on our own. And then God knows what will happen. So just help us out and let us know what you'd like to see, what you wouldn't like to see. Thanks to the regulars. I see Shannon. I see Laura, Kelly, Kristen in the chat room. Thank you guys for joining us again. And we love you guys.
Yeah. We love you all.
And that's it.
Thanks for stopping by.
Stay classy.
But more importantly, thanks for stopping by.
Yeah, but still stay classy. Ron Burgundy.
But thanks for stopping by.
Ron Burgundy. Stay classy.